Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them
the
free.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage. I'm having an awesome road trip with my son. We drove from Santa Maria to Akron, Ohio, straight through. Spent some time with my dear mother in a sort of hospice situation right now. Pray for her. She's 85, but at least when we were with her, she was alert. It was great to see her and talk with her. Also, I got to see my sister, my brother-in-law, and their eldest came by, Luke. I used to call Luke the Duke. He tolerated that from his uncle all the way through, well, into high school. But when I met the man he has become, it's no longer Luke the Duke. It's Lucas the attorney who has been asked to run for state legislature. Anyway, my how they do grow up, don't they? We squeezed in a visit to the NFL Hall of Fame. Zach wore one of his Colts jerseys. I wore the Cardinal jersey in memory of Pat Tillman. You see, I'm a Pats fan. He's a Colts fan. So he wanted to buy me a jersey, but he said, listen, I'm not going to buy you a Patriots jersey. Ain't happening, but I'll get you a jersey that is patriotic. So he bought me Cardinals number 40, Pat Tillman's jersey. Although, I'm sure he had this in mind. I know I did. Zach served in Afghanistan at FOB Tillman. And now he's the football expert, you know, he could keep up with any of the radio guys talking football. Even thought about doing that as a gig, but he's pretty much settled on being a personal trainer. Berserker bodybuilding is his thing. So right now we are driving to Hammond, Indiana, where I hope to meet up with a pastor friend, Dr. John Wilkerson. And then it's home again at last. All right, my friends, let's get started. Watch the rats, folks. When they start leaving the ship, you know it's going down. Watch for unexpected resignations and declarations to not run for re-election. Watch for the rhinos to run for cover. They poke the bear, my friend. This is no ordinary bear. He's stalking these goons and taking them out one by one. Okay. Yeah, I agree. A little bit enigmatical, perhaps, but you get what I'm saying. Or let's put it this way. If you do, it's for you. We are engaged in our second war for independence. It's an irregular war, to be sure, but it is a war just the same. At the same time, we are in the middle of World War III, some would say four, and we're fighting the same enemy as we fought in World War II, the Nazis. The Nazis of World War II have been working behind the veil within our own government, but over here after World War II and embedded in our CIA, Satan-worshipping, goose-stepping, Heil Hitler wannabe dictators. Scott Key-like. I watch over the ramparts, the darkening skies, gather the bombs bursting in air, and look for our flag to see if it's still there. Mr. Bogan tells us his doctor treated as many as 200 members of Congress, and he treated them with ivermectin. Boom, there's a bomb bursting in air. Medicaid incentivizing hospitals to prescribe remdesivir. What is that about? When we know there are some serious side effects from the use of that medication, and we know now that ivermectin's available. Boom. Investigations are going on regarding the nursing home scandal. Can anyone spell Nuremberg? Boom. And speaking of Der Fauci, PETA has called on Fauci to resign. Wow. To Fauci's chagrin, we can spell Nuremberg. A lower court judge in New York City sided with de Blasio's vaccination mandate against the NYPD. Judge Lizette Colon. Yikes. Boom, boom, and boom. New, previously hidden documents obtained by Judicial Watch show that the D.C. police were warned in 2020 that there would be a huge crowd gathering at the Capitol on January 6th. Trump suggested they bring in the National Guard to protect the Capitol. Remember that? Yet Pelosi refused and ordered the Capitol police to stand down. And I believe that when the Patriots balked at entering the Capitol, police were instructed there to wave the Patriots in. Invite them in. You see, it was a planned false flag event, my friend. And now we've got names. Boom, boom, boom. What's going down on the election fraud front? Mercy, that's boom shakalaka. And the pedo-vaxxers are coming after our children. When are we going to learn we cannot trust the government scientists and start actually following the science? And thinking of our children, you heard that a Senate committee has launched an investigation into the National School Board Association to ascertain whether that association was conspiring with the White House and the DOJ. They want all documents and all correspondence between the NSBA and the White House and the DOJ. Boom, shakalaka, laka. You know, it looks like Biden wants to be out of town on Halloween. I wonder why. Well, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Mr. Rogan tells his doctor treated as many as 200 members of Congress with ivermectin. Did you hear about Medicaid's plot to seduce hospitals into prescribing the known to be deadly remdesivir instead of the helpful and harmless ivermectin that's been proved for many decades, even though both drugs are on the NIH list of approved for COVID treatments on their website? Kaboom. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you want to see what is going on? Or do you want to be told, what does Bongino call it, the cutesy time stories? I agree with Dan. This is, we're past time for cutesies. The battlefield is right here in the land of the once free and home of the once brave. But what the enemy is finding out is that there is a remnant that have not bowed their knee to Baal. There are some Americans left. They have not succeeded to brainwash all our young or all our citizens. There is an army of citizens out there who are brave enough to fight for our freedom. We still stand, wrestle, and resist. Something you should know. I've read so many of these RCTs, randomized controlled trials, and other scientific drug studies and so on. And I find that usually the scientists are sensitive to the fact that, well, they know their work is going to be peer-reviewed. People are going to read it. For this reason, they attempt to maintain some integrity, even when they're lying through their own decayed and decrepit hearts. But really, they get their big bucks from government, you know, government grants and all that. And so it's politicians that control the flow, the dólares, the euros, the yuan, into their pockets. And people have a, well, they have a natural tendency to work for the pleasure of the person who pays them. So if a politician, especially a political doctor like Fauci, implies a certain result makes him happy, while another result is, well, let's just say problematic, well, then this gives clear direction to the researchers, doesn't it? But you can't just make it up. They tried that with their Lancet study, manufactured to provide a scientific premise for denying life-saving HCQ from the American people. Very likely killing many hundreds of thousands, at least that's what some doctors say. So you have to be careful about these things, you know. Some of the studies are more obvious than others. Most of them are very strict and, well, scientific in the data. But the bias shows up in their conclusions. However, invariably, I find as I read through them, there are going to be statements that support the agenda of the boss they're working for. However, sprinkled in here and there will be a statement that's for their peers to know and understand that they do get it. They do know the truth about what's going on. But you've got to know how to read these things to separate the science from the politics. Now, that's what's happened. And it's for this reason that the MSM, for example, can take some ridiculous statement and cite the same study. Another cites that totally contradicts them. This is the reason it's important to read the study cited. And that happens with the scientific study supporting remdesivir for COVID. They did a few neat tricks, you know. First, they changed what they were examining the drug to do. And one person described it as starting a football game and then midway through it changing the length of the field. Anyway, first they changed what they were examining the drug for. Rather than looking for a result that showed remdesivir actually effective to cure the disease or control symptoms, which it doesn't do, they took another approach, and so it turns out that if it does not kill you, it possibly reduces time to recovery. It seems to reduce time to, that's the kind of language they use. Now stay with me, folks. This is getting real. Let's go here next. Fauci knew that remdesivir had been tested for use against Ebola, along with three other drugs, and that remdesivir was pulled from the study because it was linked to a death rate exceeding 50%. The side effects for this drug are documented to be kidney failure, liver failure, multiple organ failure. This is important, don't forget it. There are complications that arise from the side effects of remdesivir that are well known. And guys like Fauci, you know, those in the know, you know. The smart guys who know all about these sorts of things, Fauci knows that among the complications, and that's a key word, remember it, of kidney failure, well, is water retention. And doctors like Fauci, well, they know things like this. They know that kidney failure and liver failure introduces other serious health concerns like, well, for example, water or liquids getting into the lungs and causing pneumonia. So now we need the ventilator. And they know other stuff too. These guys, they're so smart. They know that a very high percentage of, well, any patient over 65 that is put on the ventilator is going to die there. So smart Jesuits like Fauci, well, they know that the signature symptom of COVID is pulmonary distress, difficulty breathing, and, well, he has declared that the only treatment for COVID must be remdesivir, and it must be introduced at the onset of, well, symptoms. This is why COVID-positive patients are not given any care until the onset of symptoms. And then the care prescribed is remdesivir, which, as Fauci knows, does not treat COVID, really. But what it does do is it might allow you to recover. If you do recover, it might allow you to recover more quickly. But he also knows it causes kidney failure in about 30% of its users within 5 days of the beginning of the regimen. And that creates water retention that leads to pneumonia. When Fauci said that remdesivir would be the only treatment, he knew all of this. He's a smart guy. He can explain everything to the bamboozlement of all who are motivated to believe him. You see, but not all of us are motivated to believe him. I learned a long time ago, people don't need facts to believe something. They just need a reason to believe it. And that's something else Fauci knows. So he gets real frustrated when people, you know, start challenging him. Not used to that. And asking, well, impertinent questions. And he angrily scolds them and says, if you question him or talk bad about him, you're questioning science. Because, as he said, I am science. Yeah, he said that. No kidding. This idiot actually said, I am science. You know, that explains some things. In this world, science is God, or in his world anyway, science is God. So this explains his God-like, his God complex, you could call it. And this is not the only characteristic Fauci shares in common with another being who is a God complex personality. Satan. He's a liar, the father of it. And Fauci is one of his favorite sons, no doubt. So there you have it, as my beloved dove would say. Fauci's real smart. He knows all this stuff. And when he cited these studies supporting the efficacy of remdesivir, he knew about the above 50% incidence of death. He knew about the side effects. And you probably noticed how insistent he was that remdesivir be the only treatment. And he even cited the Lancet study. Yeah, as a scientific proof or evidence that caused him to have, if you remember him saying, well, it caused me to have concern about HCQ. Even, you know, some studies say, this kind of thing, he's referring to that Lancet study, even though some years earlier, the same Dr. Fauci suggested hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine and chloroquine as effective treatments for SARS-1. Huh. But, well, you know how it is with real smart guys like Fauci. So, now, HCQ and ivermectin are ridiculed as treatments prescribed by the old-fashioned doctors. You remember them? You remember doctors that, well, practiced medicine? You know, they used their much study and experience in medicine to assess a disease and prescribe a treatment that was based on the needs of his patient as he saw it in his practice. He did not ask Fauci about it. He was not controlled by political doctors who involved themselves in, well, gain-of-function research on bat viruses to make them more infective to humans and more deadly than they are found in nature. The old-fashioned doctors, you know. Well, they simply use their knowledge about medicine to prescribe a treatment for their patients. But anyway, those guys have been treating multiple thousands of patients now. They're still around. The early intervention. You remember that old yarn? That bit about early intervention to being the key to beating back any infection? Well, smart guys like Fauci, well, they know that early treatment in the special case of COVID, it doesn't work because it doesn't produce the results he's looking for. That's why it doesn't work. You understand? Wait for it. So Fauci's NIAID and his cover, NIH, instructed doctors to not bother treating COVID until symptoms present themselves, and the primary one being pulmonary distress. Immediately then treated with remdesivir, which is, in 5 days' time, known to, for a significant number of people who use it, to cause complications. Kidney failure, and that resulting water retention that leads to pneumonia. And so, off to the ventilator you go, where, by the way, the hospitals are incentivized. They get lots of money when the patients go on the ventilator. And the longer they're on it, the more money they get. That just makes everybody so happy. This makes hospital administrators very happy. So everybody's happy, you say. Fauci's happy. Yeah. The administrators are happy. And an added bonus. Strong incentive to follow NIAID Fauci protocols. You see, if you do, you have complete immunity from any responsibility for any kind of adverse event that might be caused by their treatment, including death. But be forewarned. Now listen, hospitals, if you get off the Fauci approved protocol, well, you're on your own then. So you see, everybody's happy. Well, this is all political, you see. So, of course, the government-paid Medicaid has to get in on the act. Medicaid for patients over 65, you see. They want hospitals to prescribe remdesivir. What? And, of course, they have the support of science himself. So, no problem. Yeah, I'm serious. Medicaid actually pays a 20% bonus, I understand, from Dr. Artis, if the hospital will prescribe remdesivir. Well, why are they doing that? Did you know it costs, according to him, $2,300 for a five-day regimen of remdesivir? Plus, the hospital is then paid on top of that a bonus of 20%, another $460? Huh. Money, money, money by the pound. But why? Aren't the hospitals already significantly incentivized, right? Immunity protection, a treatment protocol that presents the hospital with a significant number of opportunities to use their expensive ventilators and just rake in the money, money, money by the pound. Well, you see, there is a problem. Some doctors get nosy, and they look into things, and they discover stuff like they're not supposed to know, you know? It's okay for them to know it. They just need to know it's not for the plebs. It's for the elites, you see? You probably did not know that on the NIH website, there are actually two treatments that are approved by the NIH. You know, that's Fauci's outfit, okay? Fauci's friend runs it, or did. I think he resigned. Fauci used to run it. Yeah, this guy resigned and jumped ship, right? Watch for the rats. They jump ship when the water starts coming on. Anyway, these guys are tight, my friend. The NIH shows two treatments as approved for use in treating COVID, but you'd only hear about one from Mr. Fauci, phony Fauci, remdesivir. Well, but the other one's ivermectin. Oh, really? On NIH website? Ivermectin, the adult dosage, is posted right there on the site. How about that ivermectin? You know that stuff Joe Rogan's doctor prescribed for him? And that the MSM went on and on and on about horse pills and pig pills and so on? Interesting. The treatment that his doctor told him that he had used for about 200 members of Congress. Ivermectin, it's for the special people, you see. It's fully approved by Fauci's outfit, but it's for the special people. It's not for the plebs. That's for real people, you know, not the cattle that have no real purpose for living other than to provide meat on the table of the elites. And frankly, it's just got to a place, I'm sorry to tell you, there are just too many of you cows out there. We got to thin the herd. For the special people, other treatments are available. Some doctors have some memory of an oath they took, you know, a long time ago. Like those pesky patriots who take their oath to defend the Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic seriously. These sorts of folks really get in the way of progressives. Progress, you hearing me? So it's called the Hippocratic Oath. It's becoming the Hippocratic Oath. The one where you promise, above all else, to do no harm. Anyway, they find out that there are two approved treatments, and well, then they bother to read the NIH website, and they notice that remdesivir has side effects that are very serious. Kidney failure, liver failure, multiple organ failure, and, well, looky here, the onset of these organ failures occur between the third and fifth days of a five-day treatment protocol. Yikes. And, well, wait a minute now. Ivermectin, proven effective, no side effects from the kidney and liver. So yeah, hey, let's inform our patients and let them make a decision based on informed consent. But the hospital administrator and other government-connected doctors and stuff, you know, they have another agenda. The elites, the Nazi doctors like those that served in the higher echelons of the medical profession under Hitler, the politically connected doctors, the administrators of the hospitals, they've got to intervene when Neanderthal originalist traditionalist doctors start making decisions to inform their patients that the NIH offers two remedies? What's that about? So back to Medicaid. I call it the Medicaid mystery. Here's the Medicaid mystery. The government healthcare providing program wants hospitals to prescribe remdesivir and not ivermectin. Why? Why? Is remdesivir less expensive? This is often the reason for this sort of thing, you know. Is it about cost? Remdesivir costs $2,300 for a five-day regimen. Add $460 to cover the special bonus that Medicaid gives hospitals to use remdesivir. And by the way, the hospital only gets the bonus if they prescribe remdesivir for at least 5 days. That's what I understand. Isn't that interesting? What does ivermectin cost? $125 for a five-day regimen. Excuse me. $2,760 per patient versus $125 per patient. One has serious side effects, the other does not. Huh. Not trying to save money here, folks. What are they trying to do? It appears to me they're trying to make sure every patient over 65 who presents symptoms of COVID-19, respiratory pulmonary distress, gets on the fast track to death. Fast track to the ventilator, okay. Give them remdesivir. Watch close third day. Check on a fifth day. Here you go. Now got some pneumonia. Okay. Time for the ventilator. And then if they begin to improve their oxygenation, wow, it's weird how suddenly, in some cases, when I heard about something happens, and oh, sorry to report, we have to leave them on the ventilator. What's going on here? Well, you know what's going on here. Do you realize that even after NIH posted ivermectin as a qualified and approved treatment for COVID, you still don't know about it? You continue to hear, you know, once you go into the hospital and asking for it, you continue to hear the MSM talk about those using ivermectin as if they're taking horse pills and pig pills and stuff like this. Isn't that interesting? Not once did you hear CNN or the others say, hey, there is a prescription for ivermectin for people and you can get it. And by the way, it's approved by NIH. So you have some choices and you don't need to take the horse pill or the pig pill. You can get a doctor prescription for this. But they would never do that. That would be honest. You see, we need to get the plebes on remdesivir. That way we can move them on to the fast track to what kills virtually every COVID patient that dies of the disease 65 and over. Did you know that on their death certificates of virtually all COVID patients that died of it, supposedly, complications, here's what it says, complications arising from COVID-19. And then under that, kidney failure and secondary COVID pneumonia. Put it together. You can put together a puzzle. You can put this together. The pieces are in front of you. The virus kills almost no one. COVID deaths are almost exclusively arising from the treatment. The cure is worse than the disease. Who warned us about that? Let me see now. It was President Trump. Well, I've just run right on through my break. I need to wrap it up. Talking about the decrepit, degenerate, debased, elitist snobs, you know, the type. Guys that say inane things like, I am science. Laughable. Except these people are killing off a national treasure. Those types, you know, the ones that believe the herd needs to be thinned. The plebes need to be reduced, starting with the old folks. The old people, worthless, meaningless. We need to get rid of them. That's what Jacques Attal said back in the 80s when he told us we're just going to have to move forward with a plan to depopulate the planet. We'll have to start with the old folks, you know, and then move on to the weak and the imbecilic. Then we can get rid of all the stupid people, but we need them around up front to support this stuff, you know. That's the way it works. This was the former advisor to Mitterrand, former president of France. He only said that what the Satan worshippers have been saying for many decades before him. Satan's here to kill, maim, and destroy. They're still saying it now, only a bit louder. Maybe who will hear? Or someone will hear the who's. Gates has been talking about this for a long time. He was talking about reducing the population by about 15%. He even mentioned using his vaccines to achieve it. Yeah, I know. I listened to it. The crowd laughed. It was a joke. I know. It was a joke about reducing the population by 15% using his vaccines and using healthcare to do it. Is that funny to you? At a summit or a conference where depopulation was included as what was needed to be done to address concerns about climate change. And Gates was there with the answer. He made statements like this in many other instances. His father being a great advocate for depopulating the planet to a sustainable, you ready for this, 500 mil. Now the population has grown some since he's been here. So today, that would require the killing of 7 billion people. Have you heard about the Georgia Guidestones? Yeah. They call for a reduction in global population to 500 million. You'll find these guidestones in Elbert County, Georgia. This huge Stonehenge-esque monument stands proudly there, proclaiming in 8 different languages, 10 guidelines to guide future generations of this planet, the future stewards of the planet. And the very first dictum pronounced to future generations is to maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. It goes on to stipulate the need to guide reproduction wisely. Isn't that interesting? Don't you think that's just fascinating? Now, it is understandable that someone who really believes this stuff, well, they might buy into a plan to use a jab to introduce a twofer. A twofer, yeah. Reduce the population at the same time. Take care of those children so they don't reproduce. You know, bother the reproduction thing. Hey, two birds, one stone? Cool. You've heard the jab is threatening reproduction. You heard that, surely. Yeah. So let's jab the kids. What other reason would they have for trying to jab the kids? They don't need any protection from COVID. It's just ridiculous what these people are doing. The chances that the children will die of COVID are somewhere in the area of zero. When are we going to wake up and follow the science and quit following these lying scientists and what the Bible calls science, falsely so-called? Children do not need to be vaccinated against COVID. Annual death rates among children or death risk assessment of those 1 to 4 year olds, years old, is 2.8% of children deaths come from drowning. Vehicle accidents account for 2.3%. Homicide, 2.2%. Cancers, 2.0%. Cardiovascular disease, 1.0%. Flu, pneumonia, 0.8%. Suffocation, 0.7%. And finally, we come to COVID, 0.2%. More kids die of pneumonia and flu every year than are dying of this disease. We've never treated it this way. What's going on? To use the logic of CNN, who said the unvaccinated are 10 times more likely to die of COVID, because they did some math and they figured out that 0.001 times 10 is 0.01. It's unbelievable. By this sort of reasoning, children are more than, 300% likely to die of suffocation than from COVID. They are 2,000 times more likely to die from drowning. One patriot said that when the data is seen and believed, it makes it clear it should be a crime to vaccinate children. Pedo COVID vaxxers, child abusers, deserving to be in a category like pedophiles, destroying the children. And by the way, the same holds for children aged 5 to 14. Along these lines, people are waking up. The pushback against mandated vaccinations is growing, and it grows every day, getting stronger and stronger. Investigations are ongoing regarding the nursing home scandal. Newsom, Cuomo, Murphy, Wolf, and Whitmer, murderers. Each of these monsters participated in a scheme to jack up the COVID death count among the elderly and, get a twofer again off the old folks. These are believers in death as a solution to social problems, like abortion and so on. Can anyone spell Nuremberg? All right, I need to quit here. I've gone over time. Revelation 6, verse 8. Let's conclude with that. The Bible says, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth," end quote. The word death there is a reference to pestilence. My friend, I'll see you in church. I've lit the lamps to church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. I'll call 1-805-314-2114. That's 805-314-2114. Go to our website, brainmassage.net. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
The choice is clear. One side wants to remove America out from under God. The other side wants to reaffirm America as one nation under God. One side wants to force homosexuality, promiscuity, and abortion to term on all of us. They want to force us to recognize 51 genders. They want to take away our right to self-defense. They want to encourage men to think they're girls and force our girls to compete with men in athletics. They are unreasonable and wicked. We must stand against this. On. Choose your side, the spirit of Jesus Christ and liberty, or the spirit of Antichrist and tyranny. Go to God's War 2020.com.